You're listening to The Christian Book Show. Real authors, real discussions, real issues. Books are about ideas. As believers, our ideas ought to be better. Our stories more compelling. We're here to spread ideas that lead to life. Our Savior made the religious establishment nervous and gave hope to the common people. We're here to do the same. Christian authors, leaders, and influencers share their message. Let's talk to the author.
Hi, welcome to this edition of The Christian Book Show. Today we're going to talk about a book titled EFT for Christians, that's EFT for Christians, 52 Tapping Devotions by Sherry Rice Smith, RN. And let me tell you a little bit about the book. Maybe you're not familiar with EFT. Tell you a little bit about the author, and then we'll meet the author. These 52 EFT Tapping Devotions are meant to be read and practiced, one each week throughout the year. Included at the end of each devotion are four areas: thought, action, prayer, and further meditation for putting the lesson of each of these devotions into practice. Meditate on the scriptures cited, cogitate on the thoughts presented, and practice the tapping skills suggested, and all these things while tapping. There's enough variation in devotional styles, personal stories, private thoughts, physiological lessons, and scriptural instructions to keep you busy for an entire year. Finish this book in 52 weeks and then turn around and do them again. By this time next year, the Holy Spirit's work in you and the tapping you do will most likely be a better version of yourself in Christ than you are today. Let me read a little bit about Sherry Rice Smith, and then we'll meet the author. Sherry Rice Smith is a retired RN of 45 years. She's worked in areas within the nursing and medical profession, from newborn babies to nursing home care, when the Lord led her to emotional freedom techniques after the death of her youngest brother. As a professing Christian for over 40 years, Sherry quickly understood the physiological and spiritual implications of EFT's healing ability as God created it. Armed with that enthusiasm and a love for God's people, Sherry quickly heeded the Lord's instructions by finishing two EFT practitioner certifications, writing the original EFT for Christians book, teaching EFT for a worldwide tapping organization, and beginning the process of awakening the Christian community at large to the concept of emotional and physical healing using tapping. Sherry, welcome to Christian Book Show.
Hi, all.
Hey, and this is not your first time, Sherry. We did an interview a while back, a year or so ago, with your first EFT for Christians book published by True Potential. You did an EFT for Christians book earlier. That was really your first book, but your first book for us. And it might be helpful, Sherry, to give a quick explanation of exactly what EFT or emotional freedom techniques actually is, so as we go through this devotional, the listeners will understand what we're talking about.
All righty. EFT, or emotional freedom techniques, and techniques is plural because there are multiple smaller techniques within the larger technique itself, is a physiological healing technique. And in that technique, we actually tap on acupuncture points. And there is more to it, obviously, as there is a real specific setup that you do. It's based on how God created us to heal. As we remove the emotional content, the negative parts of our life from our mind, it lowers our cortisol level, and our body then has less stress, and it can heal itself.
And this is not, you're a retired RN,
correct,
in the medical field, and and you're a professing Christian, and a lot of people might take something like EFT as kind of, you know, woo-woo out there, Eastern medicine, New Age. And I just don't see that coming from a person with that much of a medical background and a Christian background, that there's a lot more to this than some kind of New Age philosophy or New Age practice.
That's correct. And I truly believe that's part of the reason why the Holy Spirit kind of gave me the idea. Actually, it wasn't even an idea. It was pretty much an admonition. It was, you know, you're going to write a book about this, at which I was like, what? But anyway, and I think it's part of it, because this technique, it's out there in the larger world, and people do associate it with New Age. But when you look at what underpins it, why it works, it's all based in physiology. It's all wrapped up in our limbic system, in our fight or flight reaction to things that we are afraid of or scare us, or it's all wrapped up in hormones. It's all wrapped up in peptides and neurotransmitters. So these are all things that God placed in us when he created us. And I often simply say to Christians, if you believe that God created you, your body, then tapping is perfectly fine for us to use, because it's all predicated on all of the different physiological mechanisms, chemicals, et cetera, that he put in there when he did create us.
This is your fourth EFT book, and the other three were more instructional, introducing mm-hmm. the concepts and the practice of EFT. There were two kind of basic books and then an advanced EFT book. And this is a really, I see it as a kind of a very practical, very instructional, psychological and physiological self-help practice. Why the need for a devotional? What made you, and you, when you did this devotional, you had some co-authors and some contributors, and I want to make sure that they're mentioned in this, but who helped you with the book, and then why a devotional instead of a EFT book that's going to be more advanced or more instructional?
Well, first off, we have a pretty nice size EFT for Christians Facebook group, and it contains people literally from all six inhabited continents. I don't know of anybody on Antarctica, but maybe there is somebody. And that's not, the book is also, all four of the books have also gone to that same audience. There was a time when a gal just simply said to me, "Do you have any EFT devotions?" And I was kind of like taken aback, because I'm like, I don't even, like, what are you talking about? And then I, you know, the idea took root, and then I went, well, I guess we could write those. If somebody, you know, somebody wants them, let's go with it. So what I did was I asked three other people to help me. One was Kathy Reiling. Kathy lives out near Seattle, and I'm going to give you her a little pitch right now. Kathy is in process of becoming an EFT trainer for AIMET, and AIMET is one of the several certifying EFT bodies that are around the world. Kathy is a really strong Christian. She was an associate pastor at a church out there a few years ago with her husband, et cetera, et cetera. So I really enjoy working with her, and she's got some really solid spiritual background underneath her EFT. I also had Rhonda Stone help me. Rhonda is an ordained pastor. She lives also out in the Pacific Northwest. She's in Oregon. She's not pastoring a church, but she does lead a lot of women's groups. And she, too, comes in with some really neat ideas. I often tease her and say she should be writing the EFT books, because I think a lot of times her writing is so very succinct, and she really, really gets how effective EFT is. Another was a gal that was a local to here, a friend of mine, Joy Druce. Joy was pretty reluctant. Joy is retired, and she's a special ed teacher, as we call them, or, you know, we don't use those words anymore. But she just did one devotion. She wanted to just dip her toes into a little bit. But she's kind of new to EFT, but she gets it. She uses it on her on herself mostly, and she just enjoys writing these devotions. So she did one. That's the group. And so what else did you ask me, Steve?
That's good. The reason for the devotional, and like you said, you know, you were getting requests for them. One thing that impresses me about this devotional is it's not static. It's participatory, which means you don't expect the reader just to read the devotion for 5 minutes and say, "Oh, isn't that nice? We'll come back to something tomorrow or the next week." These are actually broken up into 52 weeks. And a lot of times we'll see daily devotionals, you know, where you just get a little of this and, you know, a sprinkling of a scripture, and you say that's nice or that's good or that's helpful, and you go on the next day, you go to your next devotional. And these are weekly devotionals, which implies that you've got some homework to do during the week.
Yes, that's correct. what a lot of people, and I agree with you on devotionals, it's a thought, and you know, maybe people think about it for longer than the 5 minutes that they're reading the devotion. What we wanted to do with these is A, mix them up, and that was part of the reason I asked these other three ladies to help me, because I didn't want just my particular style and thoughts to come through. I wanted, you know, some other input that would mix it up, just like you said. With EFT, EFT is participatory. I mean, it's probably the best word. I do tell people, and I will throw this caveat in here right now, that devotional book, to a certain extent, isn't going to help a reader unless they know how to tap. And because the action part of the devotion has some very specific questions and, you know, things like, you know, ask the Holy Spirit for some particular thing, and then it'll say tap about whatever he gives you. So obviously you have to know how to use the technique in order to do the devotions. But the whole, what we wanted from these was for people to go a little bit deeper, to perhaps help them break up pieces of their emotional life, the stuff that was bugging them, and you know, let them try to get in there and let the Holy Spirit assist them with it. Not every devotion in that book is going to trip every single reader's trigger. I've had people write and say, well, gosh, you know, there's three of them that they didn't mean anything to me. And I said, well, then apparently those ones that, you know, the Holy Spirit needed you to read, so pick a different one. Other people love them all because they see themselves in, you know, in each of them, or at least a part of it. So it, I think it's a wonderful mixture, and I've gotten a lot of pretty nice comments back.
You, I don't know if this is intentional or it seems to have worked out well. In the table of contents, the very first devotional is titled "Annoying People," and of course, it doesn't mean we're trying to annoy people. It means people that annoy us. But the first devotion is "Annoying People," and the last devotion, devotion number 52, is "We Who Are in Christ," or "Who We Are in Christ." And I'm thinking that kind of goes through our entire continuum as believers in our life. Is we go from annoying people to who we are in Christ. So to me, it's like a front cork and a back cork in the entire year, and I see the kind of the growth in the continuum as each week goes by. You know, fake it until you make it, and then giving thanks with a grateful heart is in there. If is not a question, and when doesn't matter, which is kind of intriguing. Do you have any favorites in here? Things that have come into your practice, or things that have meant something to you, or things that you see recurring over and over and over in your practice?
I don't know. I guess I wrote more devotions than just the ones that are in there, and I picked the ones that I liked the most. No, I don't know that I really have a favorite in particular. I guess I can't say that I really do. I think they all have place because, again, we tried to mix them up enough that there were enough questions and thoughts that you know, each the reader would get something out of each of them as best as you know, we could do.
Can we go through one and just kind of you do a commentary on it? I don't know if you've got a devotional book in front of you, but
I do.
Since I spent so much commentary on annoying people, that's probably a good one, because the structure, folks, so you know. There is a scripture in the beginning, and then the discussion in the devotional. And then at the end of the devotional, you've got a thought, you know, what you should think about this, or what a thought might come up, and then an action, and then a prayer, and then further meditation. So let's talk about annoying people, because we all experience annoying people. How do we handle that according to the devotional, and how do we handle that? How does tapping come into handling that?
So I'm looking at the devotion itself. I think that on page 18, The top paragraph, I have a comment that says, we all need to be Teflon friends, not Velcro friends. And I know people look at me and go, what are you talking about? The beauty of tapping is that as we continue, and obviously all of this as Christians is with the help of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit understands us way better than we'll ever understand ourselves. But with his help, we begin to shed some of our own emotional pain. And as we do that, and most of our emotional pain was all stuff that we picked up in childhood, up through young adulthood, probably age of 25. And once, as we start to shed that, and we then begin to see others in a different light, because what the tapping does is it often leads us to forgive ourselves and our own mistakes and our shortcomings. We're human, although a lot of us don't want to think that we're human because we want to be perfect. And as we let some of that go, we often can let it go with those around us, and we just don't end up quite as judgmental. And I think that's kind of where part of what I was doing with this particular devotion, because this one is mine, is we find that we're not as triggered by what other people do around us. And then we don't react. If we don't react, we don't have our mouth, you know, shooting off and saying things that we later regret and wish that we didn't. Arguments, we don't start them. I often say you don't get as annoyed with your friends when they call you on the phone and they're complaining and whining about their day. And we all have bad days. We all have issues. We all have things. It's life. And that's why I say we need to be Teflon friends, where as we tap, we just kind of let it flow off of us so that we can be kind and considerate and compassionate and empathetic and go ahead and listen to our friends and let them go ahead and complain about their day. But then we don't take on all their stuff, because we each have enough of our own life issues that we don't need to collect others. And I know a lot of people just, I don't know, they feel they are caring for others when they hold on to too much of other people's stuff. And it it ends up in the end just getting us sick, and it's not a good thing. So that maybe was a little more than you wanted on one devotion, but that's kind of
I like
where I went
that.
With that
I like especially the idea of the quotable quote, we all need to be Teflon friends and not Velcro friends. I think so much when we're annoyed by a situation or by a person or their reaction is or their words is we direct all that toward ourselves, where it's not really about us at all. It's really about the person that's acting that way. And it's not, you know, but we absorb it all, like you said, and we take it all on. And even to a person that might be hurting, you can have empathy, I think, without becoming so involved with that person's problem that you start to take on that negativity or that sadness or that guilt. Is that true?
And that's exactly it. That's exactly what it is. And we all know that you know, you're in a crowd and one person has a rather negative attitude. It tends to be that, you know, the others around, you know, we all pick it up. I mean, it's kind of like kids and their peer pressure. One kid starts to something that they shouldn't be doing, and pretty soon they're all participating. And I think that's the beauty of EFT on an emotional level. It kind of levels you out. You just don't often react to negativity around you. You just kind of, I don't want to say you suck it up, because that's not what we're doing, although that's what people think you're doing. It's just that you've calmed down your limbic system, your amygdala, your hippocampus enough by the tapping, and that's literally what you're doing. You're just not triggered by things that you would have been triggered by years before. And a lot of it you can just let go. I know on a personal level in our household, often before Brad and I, you know, we'd start a conversation and pretty soon we were, you know, arguing about something or another. You know, people go, oh, does EFT stop arguing? I said, well, we're still married, so there's always still words. But I know now I'll just start tapping. That used to make him kind of upset, but now he just joins me. And pretty soon we both settle down. We don't say something that we wish we hadn't said to each other. And then within a few minutes, we quiet and we come to some kind of an agreement. And it's been a wonderful tool for that. It's a great tool for children who can be annoying children and annoying people. I've had grandparents who call me and tell me what a great tool it is because they can get the little one to tap in the middle of a tantrum. Sometimes that's hard to do, so that ends up being that the adult tends to tap on the kid, whatever tapping spot you can reach while they're flailing around and crying, but it will settle them down. So it's got, EFT's got a multiple faceted use. And these tapping devotions, I guess that was another reason we did them, was to show the variations that could be used and all the different situations whereby somebody could apply it. And
so
I think it turned out pretty good.
So friend calls you and they're just so negative, and there's, you know, they're complaining about this and complaining about that, or you have a spouse or a loved one or a relative that, you know, they've had a bad day and they're venting a little bit. So the best strategy is to how do you go into that Teflon mode when that's happening to you? Do you just start tapping yourself and just, and that calms you down and it sort of transfers to the other person? What's your first reaction when you come into a situation like that?
Well, that's one of the simpler uses of EFT. That in stress relief is probably undersells this technique. But what I do is, if someone calls and they're just, they've had a rotten day and they're just going ranting, I just start tapping on myself because A, I don't want to absorb that negativity and I don't want to end up getting off the phone and then go kick the dog that I don't have because I'm now upset and it has triggered me and it brings back memories that, you know, of the day, you know, my worst day at work, and it can also just trigger your subconscious into something you don't even remember. And suddenly, you know, your whole mood shifted toward a really negative bias. And it's like, no, I don't need that. And when that happens, you also kick your body into a stress reaction where your cortisol and adrenaline levels go up. And we don't need our adrenaline cortisol levels up. No more than what's necessary, you know, to keep us safe in life. So yeah, I that's what I often do. And I do have a set of friends who we will say to each other if we're whining about something, you are tapping about that, aren't you, right now? And most of the time they do, but once in a while they're like, oh no, I wasn't. I am now. And then, you know, both of us will be tapping. And does it transfer? Actually, yes. And that's the amazing part, because as we settle down, those around us settle down, especially when you're in close proximity to each other. That's one of the techniques I teach people to do with children is simply, if the child won't tap, then just stand there and tap in front of them. And the kid watches you tap. There's a body, we have what's called mirror neurons. It's most of our neurons, which is our nerve cells in our body, are actually mirror neurons. And it's kind of, in a simplistic way, it's the monkey see, monkey do. You know, one monkey sees another monkey eating a banana, it wants a banana too. So it's an empathetic reaction. And the child sometimes will just, quite often actually, will just settle down. So it's kind of an amazing technique when you delve into all of the physiological components of it. And as goofy as it looks that you're actually tapping on acupuncture points on your face and upper body, it still works really, really well.
Oh, you got 52 devotions in here, like we said, and these devotions pretty much cover the feelings and the thoughts and the circumstances and the relationships that we get into in our lifetime and get into, you know, you can call them by the year. And you say something interesting. You say, after you've gone through the 52 devotions, pick them up and go through them again, because you say that you've grown and you're in a different place and that, you know, the Holy Spirit's in a different place in you, and that these are not necessarily one and done practices. That so something that you thought you got over last year or earlier this year through the tapping and through the devotion, you may experience that again in the coming year, and it could be experienced in a whole different level in a whole different way. So this is not a once and done cure all.
That's correct. I tell people that EFT is actually what we consider part of our of sanctification. We all know Jesus' salvation at the cross is free. That is not anything we work on. But sanctification in this life is with the help of the Holy Spirit, is us becoming more and more like Jesus, exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. And tapping is an excellent tool to facilitate that. And so therefore, exactly, as you, it's progressive, we get better. It's very much similar to, you know, you read your Bible once a year, or you read whatever parts of it once a year, and you pick it up 6 months later and you read the same verse and you're like, wait a minute, I don't remember reading that, or it means something completely different to you today than it meant 6 months ago, because you're in a different emotional state or spiritual state than you were back then. And so tapping does that same thing. Preferably you're more moving forward, which almost always you are. And with tapping, the beauty of it is that it always leads to forgiveness for, you know, because we're usually tapping on negative memories and events of things that happened to us back when. And it always tends to go forward into forgiveness. And of course, that's one of Jesus's big admonition to us, is that we need to forgive. And we know scientifically that when we forgive, it releases our body of the stress, the stressful response that it has. And we know that anger, rage, and hatred will kill us, and that we have to go to forgiveness. So it's a wonderful Christian tool, and hopefully the devotions help people see the usefulness of it.
If people are new to tapping, Sherry, are they going to be able to pick up this devotional, and with the some of the tools you've got up front, some of the explanation, are they going to be able to find this useful right off the bat, or should they have something like a more basic manual? I know you've got the EFT for beginners. Are they going to be able to use this devotional without any other background in EFT or tapping? Or would it serve them better to get a background than use the devotions?
I think it depends on the person. There are some, a certain amount of readers who do have a little bit of a background in the acupuncture points, et cetera, and that perhaps I do have an explanation in the beginning on how to tap. They may be able to get some use out of it. I would suggest that they go onto my website, which is eftforchristians.com, and request a tapping manual. There's a 64-page tapping manual that I do give away for free, and I actually wrote a short, quick start how to tap sheet also. And I think that it would, if the reader seriously has no clue on how to do this, and it's like this is the first time they've ever heard of it, I would suggest they get those two free items. Let me email them to them, and then pick this book up and try it. You do need to understand how tapping works, because it's not just the actual physical act of tapping on the eight acupuncture points, but there is we do have a concept of specificity, that you really have to be very specific about what you're tapping on. When you get into memories and events, you have to, you know, really get back to the who, what, when, where, and how almost. So there is, you know, there is a little bit more to it than just people go, why can I just tap and that'll do it? Probably not. So tapping itself will calm you down, because you're kind of informing your limbic system and your amygdala that you're not, you know, you're safe, because obviously if you were running from a bear and you wouldn't be tapping. So you're actually in a safe mode, but it isn't going to be effective as effective as in the long run as it could be.
So tapping, as I understand it, and I think this is your third book that I've been involved in, tapping can be very, very basic, and you can start on it right away, and it can be very, it's not something that's so basic that you quit learning. Your second book with True Potential was an advanced EFT book. So it sounds to me like EFT is something that is really accessible for people that don't know much about EFT, but it also, you can dive deep into emotional freedom techniques.
You can. That's kind of exactly the beauty of it. EFT is kind of shortchanged when we call it a stress relief technique because, yeah, it'll relieve stress for sure. But we literally, I think we almost use it on every single thing. It can be used for any type of emotional, physical, sexual, mental abuse. I personally, as an EFT practitioner, would not tap with someone who has a mental health diagnosis. If someone comes to me and says, I'm bipolar or schizophrenic, I wouldn't do it. But there are mental health practitioners who are also EFT practitioners who do that kind of work. In fact, we're seeing a lot of mental health workers who are now just dropping talk therapy, and they are, going to class and incorporating tapping into their specialty because it is so extremely effective. There's over 100 research studies and some from major universities that prove the efficacy of tapping. So it's growing quickly, and it's scientifically proven. And I encourage everybody to give it a shot because you keep learning, and the more you know, the more you do. And I know that tapping is being used in schools. There are a lot of guidance counselors and school nurses who use this with kids. There's kids that are taking ACTs and SATs. They tap with them before they take the test. They do so much better. There are VA hospitals using tapping. It is not official within the VA system, but it has come in the back door on several of them. There probably isn't a place where it hasn't touched. I know Cleveland Clinic offers it. So it's growing. We guess we kind of can't figure out why it hasn't gone like totally ballistic yet, but it just makes steady growth, and it will change. It will change things. I have medical doctors. I have chiropractors on our Christian board that are using it. Naturopaths use it. So it's a great tool, and it's there's a learning curve to it, but it's not hard, and it is considered a self-help tool. You may need somebody to help you in the beginning if you have some pretty rough childhood stuff. You may need some help, have a practitioner help you through that, but for everyday stuff, you can do it alone, and it's a good tool for that.
Your books are all titled, one way or another, EFT for Christians. And so we've already covered the idea that this is not something outside of our faith. This is not something that's in conflict with our beliefs as a Christian. And if that's so, are there any warnings that you would give listeners as they start to look into EFT? That might think, oh gosh, I've seen all these people do it, and these people are kind of anti what our Bible and the Lord teaches. Are there any caveats that you've got, or any warnings for people now? They do a Google search on EFT. Is there anything for them to keep their antenna up, or is it just strictly a physiological thing that's part of the body that God created?
That is a great question. I tell people to avoid most EFT YouTubes, other than mine. But and of course, that's
yours. Yours are certified EFT YouTubes.
Yeah, exactly. So. And here's my reason: a lot of times, EFT YouTubes are done. They're done for advertising, and I'm not saying that mine aren't, but mine, I do mine more from an instructional viewpoint, and I do them with a Christian twist. There are many people out there who do YouTubes for EFT, but what they are doing is they call them scripts, and they'll say, if you have anxiety, tap with me, as I do this tapping script. The problem with doing that is tapping scripts are way, 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 way too general. And sitting tapping on anxiety isn't going to probably cut your anxiety other than for a few minutes in the moment. Because it's any of our emotions, and there's thousands of them, are tend to be cemented in events of the past. And you really, that's where I had said where the specificity comes in. And that's where I tried to get specific with these devotions of saying, you know, tap on this particular thing. Because that's where you will really get the biggest bang for your buck. So A, don't tap on any of those scripts. Learn to tap for yourself. And the way you do it, if you want for, from a Christian perspective, is to, you know, email me and get those couple free items that I offer that of how to tap. And just learn to do it for yourself. So be careful with that. There are also, just like there is in anything else, there are EFT people out there. They're doing, you know, oh, let's do tapping for past lives and tap for this. And frankly, I just ignore it all because there's always someone taking it to their own theological extreme. If I find something on tapping that doesn't fall under the context of our Christian faith, I just ignore it. So tapping, we can use it. It's physiological. And I always say the New Agers swiped it and we're swiping it back because they've twisted it to their own, you know, into their own camp. And it isn't. It's God's because of the fact that it is physiological and he created us.
Amen. Amen. So the best place for people to find you, Sherry, if they want to learn more, is at EFTforChristians.com?
Correct.
Okay. And I will have the links to the two resources. We'll have that on the show notes page, too. So when people listen to the interview and they're on ChristianBookshow.com, right underneath your bio, we'll have those links, too, to those resources.
Okay. Cool.
And I don't want to forget to mention that great book on EFT is EFT for Christians, Tapping into God's Peace and Joy. And then there's another book that goes a little bit deeper, and it's an advanced EFT book. So all three of those books are available from your website.
Correct.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for the devotions. You know, this is getting toward the end of the year, and as a publisher, we see during the holiday seasons a couple of things, a couple of insights as a publisher during the holiday season. It's not just the holiday season, it can be any time of year. But one thing we see is people receiving devotionals as a gift. And that's certainly a very helpful thing if you want to buy this as a gift for someone you know or a gift for yourself. And two, the holiday season can be a pretty emotionally stressful time. And so there's probably no better time of year if you're going to explore EFT, a very practical time of year would be explored during the holidays, wouldn't you think, Sherry?
Yes, there is. There's a lot of people that do. It's amazing how they start showing up this time of year and into the early next year when our quote New Year's resolutions quote get popped up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, out of nowhere.
Oh yeah.
So yes.
So this is good timing. Thank you so much, Sherry. I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You've been listening to The Christian Book Show. To learn more about the author and the book featured in this interview, visit ChristianBookshow.com. No spaces, no dashes. That's ChristianBookshow.com. The show notes on this interview. Be sure to subscribe so you won't miss the next interview.